So I'm like struggling through some like inner.
Well, I was baptized.
Yeah. So are we all going to be able to do that again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to? We could just start over.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, make let's, it like a 30
let's go again.
All right, yeah, let's try it.
That's good. Yeah. Let's do that all.
That's a good. That was a good warm up.
Sure.
Now we're all feeling giggly and ridiculous, so this is great.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to the St. John Alive podcast. I am your host, Alan Day, and we're very excited to be launching our Lenten series on finding inner peace based on the book by Father Jacques Philippe, Searching for and Maintaining Inner Peace. And we are privileged to be joined in the studio today by these fine ladies from various ministries in our parish, but they all actually work together in our Great Adventure Bible timeline. So we're joined today by Denise Tadros and Phyllis Forrester and Tammy Yunker. And so what we're going to do before we dive into the content, ladies, I would like you to just take a brief moment to introduce yourself so that the listeners kind of have an idea of where you're coming from and how you're jumping into this conversation.
All right. Well, my name is Denise Tadros, and I've been a member here for about 6 years, before that Holy Family for about 50 years. And I love the classes that St. John offers. And so I've been very active here for a while. And I also volunteer at the outreach ministry, and that helps people in the Fenton and Linden community that are in need.
Awesome. Thank you, Denise. Go ahead, Phyllis.
My name is Phyllis Forrester. I was fortunate enough to grow up in this parish, and for about the last 20 years, I've been very active in various programs, the Bible studies, church groups. It's wonderful. So I'm happy to be involved with this.
Excellent. Thank you, Phyllis.
Hi, I'm Tammy Yunker, and we came to the parish in 2003. So we've been here a little while, but not as long as Phyllis. And I've been involved with very many ministries in the parish and just love our Catholic faith, love Bible studies. And 8 years ago, we left for our husband's job, and now we're back. And I'm just really looking forward to getting involved with this study about peace.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. So as we talked about, we're diving into this series about searching for inner peace based on this book by Father Jacques Philippe, Searching for and Maintaining Inner Peace. And so the idea we really wanted to dive into today also stems from Psalm 62, where it says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." Right? And so it's very often, and I'm guilty of this too, that in our spiritual journeys, or in our lives in general, we have a tendency to think that the peace comes through achievement or control in some sense, and we'll find inner peace when we get to this particular place. I'm a 5-year planner, right? And so I always, I lay out my plans and I look ahead and I go, everything's going to hit this like calm in life when I get there. And the funny thing is it never does. And I've learned the hard way over and over again, the truth that Father Jacques speaks in his book, and that is that inner peace is available to us now. And it's only available through God. True peace only comes from God. And so we really have to lean into that moment of grace to find that inner peace and to really, even in the midst of trials, be at peace, and which is possible, which is kind of a crazy concept in today's world. So the question I have for you all is exactly that. What are some of those moments in your life where you have thought, I'll be at peace when?
I think one of the big things that we're going through, even in our own family and extended family, is family unity. And you think, well, okay, when everybody comes back to the church and when everybody's, loving each other, I'll have peace. But even in the midst of that, like we read in the book, sometimes things that happen like that is good for our own learning, for our own growth, and we can pray more. And actually, we are all going through a journey, and we all have to learn, and it's not always easy. But that's one of the things, I think. I don't know if, I think everyone can relate to that.
I can definitely relate to that. I think that's one of the things that kind of, where I struggle with peace the most is my children. I think, I keep saying I'll be at peace once they settle into their career and they find a good girl and they have a family and a home and kids, and their kids are going to church and they're all a family and it's the unit. And I pray for that, but I also I have to keep remembering that you know, I struggled when I was in my 20s,
right,
and I found my way back.
Yeah.
And there was one part in the book that was saying then when we will what we want for them, for our peace, we're not doing it by, the Holy Spirit isn't animated in doing it. You are. And you got to let the Holy Spirit work with those people. But I find that to be one of the hardest things about finding peace when I think about family unity and what my legacy will be.
Especially when we think back on our own lives.
Oh,
you know, like I had to go through some of this growth things too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One thing that comes to mind is that Luke 14, when Jesus is talking to the rich man and he says, well, not rich man, just if anyone does not hate father, mother, brother, sister, even their own life, they can't be my disciple.
Right.
And so we're like, it's not that you don't hate them, but you have to love God over all things and not be detached to your feelings about something, knowing that God can do all things for the good of those who love them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am like you. I have something going on. It's going to be a long-term goal, and then the tasks that take place during that time. And what I have learned as I've gotten older, that once you get to the end, I'll use my working on my bachelor's degree. I remember finishing my last exam and my last class, getting ready to graduate, and walking out the door and thinking that all of these balloons are going to go off. Well, it didn't. I walked back to my car and then started thinking about, okay, well, what am I going to do next?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you find as you get older that all the tasks and the things that come up, you don't want to lose the joy.
Yeah, because in the journey,
because that's really the people that you meet and the things that are going to come up. It's not the end.
No.
So, it's
definitely one of those, the grass is always greener on the other side kind of arguments where, you know, sometimes you jump that fence and you realize, oh, wait a minute.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe
yes.
I just missed the joy in being on my side of the fence.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So as you get older, you kind of, when you start something out, mm-hmm. you kind of make sure that you're picking up on all of those other daily things that are coming up as well.
But all of those, I think, is also related to patience.
Yeah.
You know, the question, when will it happen? And sometimes we have to be patient because our time schedule, your five-year plan, mine, I don't have a plan, but your schedule will happen when God is ready for your schedule to happen, you know?
Yeah.
When my kids would be all frustrated or worried about one thing or another, I would always say, you know, in time, this too shall pass. And they would always say, oh, Mom. But it's true. They learned eventually, you know what? It does pass. You get past this.
Or even it might not be how you see it.
Right.
The answer is different. You have to have that paradigm shift we talked about in the study last night. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that brings up an interesting point when you talk about this paradigm shift and looking at this idea of control and control being at peace. What sort of impact does that desire for control have on your journey?
You miss the other things that are going on with other people. And one thing that I try to do is stay totally focused on the person that I'm talking to and listening and picking up on things that they are contributing. Mm-hmm. Because usually it can be a whole lot different than what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of go, wow, that's really good. And then you kind of investigate that part. I've learned a lot from these two ladies meeting on our Sundays and the other people that are in the group.
Me too. Yeah.
And the nice thing about that is we are then able to take that back to our groups 2 days later. And so if we didn't have those groups and Tammy spearheading that whole thing, we would be missing out on that.
I totally agree. And what's interesting is the Bible speaks to everybody differently. And in the group, when you share your questions or you share what you get out of that particular question in the timeline, someone else has a totally different perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's, wow, I never thought of that. And so it's not that somebody else knows more than you or has more depth in their faith than you. Everyone has different experiences. And a lot of times it's like, wow, I didn't think about that. And it makes me think, well, I have to consider that option. You really get a lot that way.
There's a saint, I think it's Guigo, he's in charge of he was in charge of monks, and he was saying about that very thing, scripture. It's scripture is like that living water that's shallow enough for a lamb to wade and deep enough for an elephant to swim. So just get your feet wet.
I love that.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's good for anyone. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I like that.
I was also thinking about that control switch situation, and I was thinking, how can you give God control if you don't know who he is? If you don't have a relationship with God, then you don't know how to give over the reins. And how do we know who God is? How do we understand how we can give control? And we were just talking about Bible study. It's his living word. And that made me think about that Lectio Divina. And each one of us, like you said, Denise, are different. And so he speaks to us so intimately and so differently in the scriptures. And we need to know who he is every day in the scripture to find out, what do you want from me? So we can't give up the control unless we know what he wants, unless we know who he is, right?
That is so true. Orthodox gentleman, a good friend of mine, years before I started all the Bible classes, we were sitting and talking, and he asked me, he was asking me questions, and he said, don't you read the Bible? And I said, well, I go to church every Sunday, I pray all the time, but I'm really not very good with knowing the Bible. I'm really not familiar with it. And he said, well, you know, I've always believed that when you pray to God, you're talking to God, but when you learn the Bible, he's talking to you.
Right.
And that hit me.
That's good.
That hit me like a lightning bolt, because the more I studied the Bible, the more I got out of it, mm-hmm. the deeper water that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the best way to do it is just to start, baby steps. You don't have to jump into it and take a collegiate, you know, theology class. You know, you could just trickle into it and find your own pace. And I think that anybody who does that will really be grateful once they get into it. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even like talking, and not just the scripture, God's word is in many different ways. Mm-hmm. We can hear his word through other people. And maybe he's saying a word to us, we might not like it, but, you know, not to lose your peace or control, but try to have open ears to what God is trying to say in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying to me? I don't like what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Something like that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you find to be the most difficult part about those particular moments and letting go of control when the Lord is calling you to do something that you know is going to be difficult, that you don't particularly like, but you know he wills it for your good? What is the key that allows you to kind of lean into those moments and actually trust him? What does it take? Because for me, I find that really difficult, and it's always a very tumultuous process. But every time I do, like you said, I stop and I just get my feet wet. Like, let's just jump in. It ends up being very fruitful. So what's the thing that helps you jump that hurdle?
One thing that the book pointed out is that we're going to have those trials and those tribulations, because if we didn't, then we wouldn't know what peace is.
Mm-hmm. It offers us that contrast to know where we stand. Yeah, for sure.
So I liked that in the book, but I agree with you. That's hard.
But I think you have to, in time, work on it, because I think a lot of that is we don't always have the confidence that God is going to answer your prayer or help you through this particular thing. And so you try to take it on yourself, and it really never works out to your benefit, because and you know what? It takes time to really look back at some trials in your life and say, okay, he was there. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was crazy. But as I landed, my feet landed on the ground, you know, I was pleased with how things happened, you know. I like that story of the footprints on the sand.
Yeah.
Where there was only one set of footprints.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And finally, when that person is through it, he looks back and realizes it wasn't his footprints, it was God's, because he was carrying them.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to gain some confidence. But a lot of times, I don't think it's just something that you just have to say, okay, I'm going to have confidence that God's going to be with me and I'm going to give it all up to him. I think it takes trial and error and maturity, and eventually, but it's a goal to work on. But I think that's a lot to do with it.
One thing came to my mind when you were saying that on the way to work. To church today. I was, you know, we can all relate when you're driving and you have those people cutting you off or whatever. And you're like, why, Lord, why? And in the moment I was thinking, oh yeah, I remember in that book it said, whenever you're feeling like you're losing your peace, just praise the Lord. And I was thinking today in Mass, our responsorial psalm, the just will exhort and praise the Lord. And we're supposed to be in all things praising God. So in that moment I was like, thank you, Lord. I didn't really mean it at the time, but I was trying to mean it. And then, you know, eventually it just, okay, yeah, I am thankful for that. Because, you know, right as I was going through that intersection, somebody cut me off. I saw that there was somebody that had walked across the walkway, and I may not have seen him. And in that moment, I was like, okay, you know what? It was safe. It was safer for me that somebody cut me off.
Yes.
Or you can even say that in conversation when you're trying to say something and somebody cuts you off and you're like, ooh, it's a good thing they cut me off. I was just about ready to say something wrong. You know what I mean? So you know, in those moments you can say, thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not at first thankful, you can become thankful, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll have to remember that next time on the verge of road rage.
I'm about to become a very thankful man when driving.
Maybe also with that, too, when you have something that's on your mind and you're talking to everybody about it to try to figure it out, maybe that's God telling you, you know what, you're thinking about this a little bit too much, that's not my plan.
Pushing the issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
The number one question I get asked when people hear about my life is, how on earth do you do it? You know, I have a lot of children. I'm happily married. And they always ask, how do you do it? How do you do it? Because we have a lot going on. And my answer is always the same. I don't do it. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be able to do anything, you know, because it's absolutely His grace and the grace of the sacrament of holy matrimony that carries us from day to day and has made possible all of the things that we've accomplished in our life and the trajectory that we're on now. It is 100% due to God's grace. And because I recognize very clearly those moments where I try to take back control and I'm like, no, Lord, I know better than you. I've got this covered.
Yes.
And everything ends up in a total disaster every time. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, Alan, because last night we were talking about that very thing. Like, we couldn't be priests. Sometimes we're like, oh, what they have to go through. It's amazing, our priests, you know, they have the grace we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes think, you know, I would love to do that or whatever. Or I could never do what they're doing. Well, no, we couldn't, because we are given the grace in our own positions to do what God has called us to.
Yeah.
And that's giving the control to Him. Where do you want me to be? And then it all lines up and it's good, right?
Yeah. And using our own charisms that God gives us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to you, Alan, my mom and dad had 6 kids, set of twins, 3 kids in diapers at the same time. And I always would ask my mom, how did you do it? How did you do it? And she would always just look at me and she said, I don't know, just one day at a time.
There you go, that
one
song.
One day at a time.
So one day at a time.
It's hilarious that you mentioned the 3 in diapers all at once, because I hear people like mutter that behind me all the time. Oh my gosh, 2 in diapers at the same time.
Well,
this is a cakewalk. I've always had 2 in diapers.
There you go.
And my thought is always, if diapers are the thing you're hung up on, you're missing a whole lot of life.
Never more than we can handle.
Exactly.
That's right.
Never more than we can handle. Well, I'm curious to know, what are some of your signs in your own life that kind of tell you when you've hit that point of too much control and you're not relinquishing to God? What are some of those indicators for you that you have, you know, that you need to back off and lean into God's grace a little bit more?
For me, I think it's sometimes physical exhaustion, or, you know, you just, even in your mind, exhaustion, like I'm done. I mean, we have that when we're in God's will sometimes, when we're all in. But it's in anxiety. It's a lack of that peace. It's frustration or insecurity.
I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I have difficulty sleeping. Mm-hmm. I'm at that age where I wake up in the middle of the night and my mind goes for 2 hours before I can finally doze back off.
Yeah.
And if there's things that are giving me anxiety, you know, what I would tell my kids, this too shall pass. Well, if you can't fall asleep and your mind keeps going, you know, for me, the thing that helps me is to stop that wheel that's turning, I just start saying prayers. I just start saying the rosary, and eventually, you know, Mary will give me peace, and I'll fall asleep. But that's how I know.
Yeah.
It's just my sleep, and I'm not happy because I know I'm at conflict with something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
yeah. I become overwhelmed, indecisive. Oh, I start asking for other people's opinions. Some of the opinions don't follow my path, and I know that that's not good. So, 100%.
I think that was in the book, Phyllis, about it's good to ask opinions or you know, but then you get to the point of indecision.
Mm-hmm.
You keep asking and asking, and you don't have a direction.
Yeah, we just have to turn it over to God, pray about it, and your answer will come some way.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Usually through action, in my own experience, you take a step and you go, yep, that was definitely the wrong direction.
Yep. Yeah.
You redirect.
Yep. But that's okay.
Proceed. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's how, you know, most of the things that were invented, like the light bulbs in this room, were just through a series of mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to trial and error.
That leads to mistakes are fine.
Right.
You make mistakes, mm-hmm. and then you learn from it and you go on. So perfectionism. You kind of want to stay away from that because you want to be okay with making mistakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you ladies find peace in that process of making mistakes? Because to me, that's a journey that is always really difficult because I know, like, I'm going to have to take a step forward and see where it goes. I'm going to have to find whether or not that's making peace. That was a principle that was instilled in me very early on in vocational discernment before I met my wife. I was discerning the priesthood, and a lot of people said, you'll never know until you apply.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never know until you're in seminary. Seminary is about deciding whether or not the Lord is calling you to be a priest. Mm-hmm. And I remember very distinctly sitting in the final interview with all of the panels. This was in the Archdiocese of Denver. The final panel of all of the priests were sitting there, and the vocations director sitting next to me who had walked me through this whole process, and the main formator, he looks at me and he goes, how do you know the Lord is calling you to be a priest? And it was ringing in my ears because it was the very first question the vocations director asked me. And I looked him dead in the eye and I gave the same answer I had always given. I don't know. That's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. I need your discernment. Mm-hmm. I need the discernment of the people around me. I need to take a step forward in order to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because they dismissed me from the room and the vocations director stayed in for a few minutes and came out and he goes, what are you doing? Why would you say that? They almost thought, oh, you know, this guy doesn't want to be a priest. And I said, I don't want to be a priest. I'm not going to lie. I don't. That's why I'm discerning because that's what the Lord is calling me to. And it was just very interesting because that was a big part of that discernment process for me. And taking a step is I realized there were a lot more people that were pushing for it and my heart wasn't there.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
That's why I ultimately ended up discerning away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was very scary and very hard to find peace even in those moments. Cause you know, I'm talking with a bunch of really high level people in the archdiocese and, they're very intimidating conversations. But for some reason, when I made that decision not to go and I had to look my formator in the eye and say, I'm not coming. And he fired back with all these questions. It was like the first time in my life where I was just at the utmost peace because there was so much clarity along that journey.
Yeah.
And it all just came through slow, steady steps forward and trusting that the Lord was going to lead me where he wanted me. And that was like one of the few times in my life where I could say I very distinctly did that and leaned into his grace because mm-hmm. I was so scared to take the wrong step.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So that was a really long way of asking, how do you find peace in that process of discernment when things are tumultuous, when you are making mistakes, when you're discerning whether or not you're taking the wrong path and you're very clearly on the wrong one and you're like, well, now I don't know where to go. How do you go about finding peace in that?
For me, I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. And one of the ways that I struggle with, even still to this day, is finding forgiveness in myself. To forgive myself, even though I've reconciled at church, and even though, you know, I know that Christ has already died for my sins, you know, that I shouldn't still be carrying that, and I think that's kind of Satan wanting me to hang on to it. So that's one of the things that I have to always deal with is forgiving myself. Mm-hmm. Forgiving myself and knowing that every day I am trying to do what pleases the Lord. And forgive yourself. Learn from it. Forgive yourself. And for me, I take walks. I put my headphones on, and there's a few Christian songs that I love that just give me peace. And that is my escape, is giving me the peace. And it, I love those walks.
Now I'm curious, which songs are those?
I'll tell you later.
All right.
I think it's also reminding myself that I am a child of God. And if I'm trying, absolutely, I have to be honest with myself. You know, if I'm really, in that moment that I made the mistake, I was really trying to do God's will. And yeah, I did sin or I did something that was selfish. But God is bigger than my mistake, and he can make something good out of my bad. And it doesn't mean that I shouldn't go to confession or I shouldn't own what I did or try to make it right. But it does mean that that I trust that God's going to use all good things for our good. Mm-hmm. And not to look back when you put your hand to the plow, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that God has got this. He's bigger than my weakness. Actually, like we read, he's stronger in our weakness when we recognize that it's not about us, it's about grace.
Oh. Mm-hmm. How about when we discussed in the timeline where Saul was persecuting the Christians yeah. and Jesus told Ananias, go to him, I'm using him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And with Peter, he denied Jesus three times.
Three times, right.
Made those big mistakes. Peter spent his life making good with his mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus could forgive Saul and Jesus could forgive Peter while he was in the middle of being, you know, crucified, then I think I can give it up. But it's yeah. still hard.
It humbles us so we can use that when somebody else is in that same situation. Yeah, I can relate. I've been there. I've
yeah.
done that mistake, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And nice. You have a lot of sensitivity when someone shares those things with you.
Yeah. So yeah, really.
Yeah. 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 I'm the same way. You make a mistake, try not to be hard on myself, ask for forgiveness. But also when something comes up, you can share your story with somebody else and try mm-hmm. to help and be empathetic as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful graces of working in youth ministry is I've had the privilege of witnessing so many young kids have these major conversions in their life and struggle with all these big things. And it's really crazy to see them thinking that their life is, you know, not as meaningful and powerful as it is, though a lot of them have had to come to that understanding that they do have dignity and they do have value through their struggles. But the crazy thing to me is watching other kids witness that story and that yeah. turmoil in life and realizing how God was moving through it and inspiring them to live a deeper life of faith. And yeah. the kid going through the struggle didn't even realize that was happening. And because I'm always a part of that conversation,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. because that kid usually comes to me and is like, I don't understand why, you know, why X and Y and Z is happening and what the point of all of this is. And then I'll be like, you got to understand the 12 kids that heard your story
yeah.
and how it changed their life. And they're like, wait, really that happened?
yeah.
yeah, it did. You know, and even adults sometimes will hear the stories of the things that I've witnessed and been in close proximity to in youth ministry. And even they are just inspired by the faith of young people. Mm-hmm. And it really is incredible what the Lord can do through the tumultuous times in our lives. And the way that he goes about redeeming things is just absolutely incredible.
Is a mess of life, the beauty of the yeah. mess of life.
Yeah, really.
But I was just thinking that a lot of times, you know, maybe even we do this or I do this, you want to portray that everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, like, everything's perfect, and you look around, people are always showing everything's perfect, and you have this false idea that nobody else is messing up. And that's not the truth. And when you right. find out, oh, you have that too? Oh, mm-hmm. oh, yeah. I think the devil doesn't want us to know that we can relate in those kind of situations. No, mm-hmm. none of us are perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. He definitely has a divide and conquer type of approach
yes.
to life. The more that we're separated from each other, the less we talk about our struggles and our joys and our triumphs and our journey with God,
right.
the easier it is for us to fall into that idea that it just doesn't matter anymore. And we just to dismiss it, the spiritual mm-hmm. journey in general, which is why we're all here sharing our journey.
Yeah, that's right.
You
yeah.
also find that when you're vulnerable with somebody and they relate, they have your back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
100%, it's like yeah. you just had a new bond.
Yeah, yeah. a new bond. And yeah. sometimes it could be a lifelong bond.
Yes.
So,
yep.
100%. So how does prayer factor into this journey of finding peace in these moments? Because I know for me, in, especially in that time of discernment for me, when things were, you know, arguably one of the most tumultuous times in my life, though there are other instances that I can name off the top of my head, but it was definitely a deep life of prayer that helped me anchor to the Lord and what he wanted. And so how does prayer factor in for you ladies in your journey?
I know this is going to be surprising, but sometimes I like to complain to God. Just tell him I don't like what happened.
Yeah.
And it hurt me. And I don't know what to do about this. And blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, you know. And then eventually when you're complaining like that and being real with God and yourself, God starts showing you or helping you. And I don't know. I think it's like Jacob wrangling through with the angel, you know. You almost have to wrangle through with this and just talk it out and just get it off of your chest, you know. And prayer sometimes, like often people think it's rote prayers, but it's that personal connection to what's going on and what's wrong and just talking it through with God and the Holy Spirit and coming to see what's going on in my own soul. Why am I upset with this? It's not all about the other guy. What's the problem with me? Why is this stealing my joy? Oh, there's a little bit of pride there, I guess. Or my status, or whatever, you know. I think that wrangling for me, I know that sounds kind of strange, but it's complaining to God sometimes. Just tell him what I don't like.
But he knows you.
Yeah.
He knows that's how you communicate. You know, when I pray, like I said, I pray at night when I'm anxious or things aren't going my way. Sometimes I pray just to recalibrate my priorities and my life. And what I'm going to do next, I'll pray for the wisdom to do it. But God knows your prayers. He knows your intentions. You know, if you pray and you're talking to God about all the things you're worried about, you know, you're not praying like he's Santa Claus. I want this, I want that, I want this, right? You're praying and you're praying for your family. You're praying for everyone's health, safety. You're praying for the country. You're praying for all these things. And, you know, you tend to have the same intentions over and over again. Mm-hmm. You have to know that God hears you and he knows your intentions.
Right. Yeah.
You know, hey, God, ditto. Just what I said yesterday. You know, it's just sometimes that's what I do, but it recalibrates and it reconnects me with him. It reconnects me with God because, you know, if you have a family member and you guys just pass like ships in the night in the house and you never talk to each other, you know, your relationship suffers.
Exactly.
But if you talk with God and you pray, you maintain that connection, you know, that communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I with prayer, it's like all day, a lot of thank yous.
Yes.
Something will happen on the road.
Yes.
I love being able to sing because the prayer's already there.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And you just get to sing it and learn from it. And so
that lifts you up from the stuff. You know, who was that said you pray twice when you sing?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So we definitely have all experienced this journey of turmoil and not leaning into the grace of God. And like you said, Tammy, there's always room to grow and improve, and we're always making mistakes. So what is the strategy and the plan this week for you all? How are we going to charge forward in a new direction to continue leaning into the grace of God and really finding that true peace?
I'm going to be out taking walks. You know, the weather's going to be nice. Spring's in the air. Enjoying the trees and the flowers that are blooming. And then I was telling Tammy, just listening to some faith-based music because that just brings me closer to God.
That's awesome. That's a great example.
Yes. For me, more quiet time. Like you said, listen more and pay more attention to things around me. But also what I'm going to do this week is make a conscious decision to watch less TV, less news. You know, it's just like a soap opera. You know, my mom and my grandmother, they watch soap operas every day, all my children. And my grandmother would pray for Erica Kane and we'd say, Grammy, this was taped 3 months ago. She's an actress, but anyway, I was raised watching soap operas, okay? And really a soap opera every day is just a different couple of people telling each other off. It's just every day someone had their moment, you know? And then when you walk away and you don't watch the soap opera for a month or two, and then you're back at home and it's on, it's like the storyline is the same.
Yeah.
It really hasn't changed. These people are still in the midst of their thing, but they've just told each other off so many times. So it's the same thing with the news, I feel. There's always going to be something that's going to draw you in and make you angry and make you this. I think for me, I'm going to choose, especially through Lent, is to pay less attention to the news and have less friends text me about what terrible, unjust thing just happened. I'm going to try and distance myself from that, especially for Lent.
Absolutely. That's a great one.
I think maybe for me, leaning forward in expectation with interruptions. Like instead, you know, like in the interruption, trying to hear what God's trying to say to me instead of, you know, like just say, oh, what are you saying, Lord? What, you know, looking forward to the interruptions, trying to tell myself God's going to do something in that instead of frustrating with the interruption. So yeah, maybe that this week. Yeah, and taking a walk. Yeah,
yeah,
and also giving up the news sometimes. Yeah, I agree.
Yes,
I was telling Tammy last night when I was studying for this or researching and doing my thought for this. Yesterday morning on my way to Mass, I got in the car, and the radio station that I listen to on Sunday morning has a faith-based gospel.
Sure.
The song that came on was Kenny Rogers' Peace.
Oh, nice. That's a
good one. That is actually, yeah, and then I had to write or look at the words, but the words are exactly what we're talking about. So that's God telling me what you're thinking about and what's on your mind is exactly where I want you to be right now.
I think, Phyllis, God talks to us in those connections,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Just like
yeah,
that
definitely.
Interruptions or whatever they are.
Yes.
Yeah. He's saying, oh, do you remember I'm here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like helping us to have the peace when we forget or something.
Those little gifts because you're putting in time with him.
Yes. Yeah.
That he gives back is just amazing.
Very good idea.
Absolutely. Well, this has been an absolutely wonderful conversation. I am thoroughly enriched, and thank you, ladies, for taking time out of your day to come down here and chat with us. And thank you all to anyone who is listening. We appreciate you tuning in, and we're very excited to continue this Lenten series. So definitely check us out and continue to follow us as we give you our hope is to get up to, you know, 3 or 4 episodes a week. So we have different groups of people coming in, so definitely tune in for that. And again, my sincerest appreciation for taking the time to be down here, ladies. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.